supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging. And to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is his anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is his good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from thee, O patron of beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of the Almighty Allah, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. So welcome. Status of daughters in Islam is the topic we're going to discuss today. Today, Monday, is the 3rd of Zilqa'dah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Hordad 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar and the 14th of June 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Luqman, verse 13 from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ.
And mention, O Muhammad, when Luqman said to his son while he was instructing him, O my son, do not associate anything with Allah. Indeed, association with him is great injustice.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Admonition is one of the means of inviting the truth, and no one is needless of it. One of the names of the Quran is admonition. Some of the verses of the Holy Quran announce that sometimes the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny told Gabriel to admonish him. Imam Ali alayhi salam also sometimes told some of his companions that they might admonish him because there is such an effect in hearing that it does not exist in knowing. Next to introducing Luqman and the rank of his knowledge and wisdom, in this noble verse, the Quran points to the first admonition of Luqman. You are with IRIB English Radio. Today's special, and now honoring the daughters in Islam. Once one of the leaders of the believers was receiving people when a small daughter of his entered the room. So he kissed her, and a Bedouin was also in attendance and saw this, so he mentioned others in a very evil manner. A wise man who was also present witnessed all of this and therefore said, O leader of the believers, do not listen to him. I swear by Allah that it is they, girls, who stay up to care for the sick in the family, who show mercy towards the elders, and who stand next to men during hardships. A man was granted the baby girl, so he became angry and isolated himself from his wife for a long time, and after a few months, he overheard his wife reciting the verse 216 of chapter number 2. But perhaps you hate a thing and it is good for you. And perhaps you love a thing and it is bad for you.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. We find that the females, I mean both ladies and girls and daughters and our sisters play a very significant role in our communities. There's a prophetic hadith in that it's indicated, خَيْرُ أَوْلَادَكُمْ الْبَنَاتِ. The best of your children are your daughters, or your daughters are the best of your children. We find that in Islamic teachings, daughters are regarded as the special divine grace. Imam al-Sadiq al-Sadiq, the sixth infallible Imam, Ja'far al-Sadiq al-Salam, indicated that In the case of the Prophet Moses, it's indicated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided a family with the two daughters, and out of those two daughters, 70 other prophets were born. Generation after generation. And another one in this regard is simply that Yahya ibn Zakariya, who was one of the close associates and disciples of the 10th infallible Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam, wrote a letter to the Imam and said that, and expressed in his letter, he expressed that his wife was pregnant, and he requested Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam's presence, his Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam's prayer, that the child would be a son. And Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam answered him that perhaps a daughter, perhaps a girl, and your daughter would be much better than your son. At the same time, we find that, for example, some of the divine prophets, like Abraham, had requested Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him a daughter, so that after him, the daughter would mourn for him. After his death, after the death of Abraham. We find that, daughters are more sensitive, are more emotional, and many of them are really very cooperative with their parents. At the same time, we find that, although from time to time, some daughters may do something that may sound quite annoying to their parents, yet it's the job of their parents to be very much attentive to them, to their daughters, because their daughters would sooner or later leave their parental homes and will be, associated with the homes or lives of their spouses.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Important phrases parents can use to empower their daughters. One of them is, I love you no matter what. Take a break from be good today. Or, if you are good, I'll give you extra hugs tonight. Unconditional love is at the core of positive parenting and means that our love for our kids does not depend on the level of good behavior they have. Rooting our parenting in unconditional love is essential to building strong, confident girls. Trust that your daughters are good all the time, no matter what mistakes they make. Feeding this truth into our girls is a key motivating factor. Remove conditions and lean into unconditional love, even amidst imperfection and tough days or stages of life.
As-salamu alayk, as-salamu alayk, as-salamu alayk, ya bint Rasulillah, as-salamu alayk, ya bint Fatimata wa Khadija, as-salamu alayk, ya bint Amiril Mu'minin, as-salamu alayk, ya bint Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, as-salamu alayk.
Now, why fathers are so important to their daughters shows daughter how to receive love. Although mothers play a critical role in the lives of their daughters, much of what women learn about life comes from their father. Fathers would exemplify what a future husband would look like. How a father treats a mother helps daughters learn how they should receive and give love, and most importantly, how they expect to be treated as a woman. In other words, Fathers would set the example of what a gentleman looks like. Fathers would lay down the moral boundaries and expectations of a daughter's relationship with men in adulthood. When a daughter sees her father treating her mother well, she learns that she is worthy and that women should be loved and treated with the utmost respect.
Now, Fatimah al-Zahra, alayhi salam, she played a big role in changing the Arab perspective about their daughters, because they looked down on their daughters and the women in general, but Fatimah changed that. How? One of the things that the Arabs looked down upon their daughters was that in their culture, in their mentality, when a girl gets married, she doesn't belong to her father and mother anymore. She doesn't belong to her family anymore. When she gets married, she belongs to her husband's family. She's not one of the family anymore. And when she has children, her children and grandchildren, they are not considered the grandchildren of her father and mother. They are considered grandchildren of her in-laws. Her children wouldn't be considered as family members by her parents, because she belonged to another family now. So when they would want to count the offspring and descendants and family members of a man, they would only consider the children of their sons, not their daughters. The children of the daughters, they are not a part of the posterity of a man. They are not from his offspring.
That's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and since we're still basking in the birthday celebrations of our innocent lady of Qom, Hazrat Ma'suma al-Fatima, peace be upon her, the daughter of the Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, let us listen to a saying in her honor by her nephew, Imam Muhammad al-Taqi al-Jawad, peace be upon him. Whoever visits the tomb of my aunt in Qom, aware of her status, will be granted paradise by God Almighty.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the Junud al-Aql wal-Jahl, or the units of the armies of the intellect and of, you know, Jahl, or, you know, ignorance or foolishness, you know, whatever you like to call it. A person is not, you know, at the place he is supposed to be, rather. We come and we see these two characteristics mentioned by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam with regards to these two, you know, armies. The one that is mentioned for the aql is al-fahm, understanding, comprehension. And the one that has been mentioned for, you know, jahl is al-ghabawa, or, you know, incomprehension, the inability to comprehend. Now this must be also understood and explained. What is possibly meant here by the Imam? Obviously, when a person understands something, there must be some sort of effort that is made in order to understand that particular matter, whatever it may be. Whether, for example, a textbook. If a person wishes to understand a textbook, there must be some effort, either before or after that particular matter. For example, a person prepares himself well in order to understand that matter in front of him. For example, if you want to understand a particular, let's say, Arabic text, a person previously would have had to have studied Arabic grammar, sarf and nahu, well enough to understand that particular text. Therefore, we understand, or it's possible for us to understand, that al-ghabawa could be that person who does not understand, not because he doesn't have the ability to understand, but rather it is that person who does not wish to put in the recommended and the necessary effort in order to understand that particular matter. For if a person does not have the ability, this is not a sign of jahl, this is not a sign of ignorance, because he doesn't have the ability. For example, a person, you know, is a na'udhu billah, Allah protect us, is, you know, it has a learning difficulty, that is different. It does not mean he is an idiot, na'udhu billah. But rather a person who has the potential and the ability to understand something and does not put in the effort either before or after. For example, there's a particular tradition or a particular thing that this person read and he doesn't understand it. He does not go and do further research, and or rather he doesn't even ask a person who he thinks may know the answer. Rather he just says, leave it, I don't understand it, forget about it. This is idiocy, that is right, that you don't put the effort in. That is something understandable, not that a person has a learning difficulty or he doesn't have the ability to do so. No, this is not, Imam will not say something like this. It is something that obviously we need to explain and understand. That when something is understood, that person, you know, that either a person has been given a gift, that he understands it immediately, or he's putting the effort in. Not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away that ability from him. Unless a person has done certain acts, that ability has been decreasing because of his own acts. Again, that's because of his own self, and because of the efforts that he has not made. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our understanding of things, inshallah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio, with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful.
May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Dear audience, today we are going to listen to the recitation of Surah Hud from verse 1 to the end of verse 4, recited by Sheikh Mahmoud Bejermi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام را كتاب أحكمت ألا تعبدوا إلا الله إنني لكم منه نذير وأن استغفروا ربكم ثم توبوا إليه يمتعكم متاعا حسنا إلى أجل مسمى يمتعكم متاعا حسنا إلى أجل مسمى ويؤتي كل ذي فضل فضله وإن تولوا فإني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم كبير إلى الله مرجعكم وهو على كل شيء قدير
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Welcome back, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of verses 1 to 4 of Surah Hud, recited by Sheikh Mahmoud Bejermi, the Egyptian reciter. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before I begin and talk about the tajweed points these verses that were recited, it's good to mention that we have a narration from our noble prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, who has said that we should recite the Qur'an with sorrow, with huzn, mm-hmm. because the Qur'an was revealed with huzn, with yes. sorrow. And this reciter, this is exactly what he was doing. He was using maqam saba, mm-hmm. a very sorrowful and sad maqam, which is very suitable for reciting the Qur'an. Using this maqam is very suitable for reciting the Qur'an. For example, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is Saba. Alif Lam Ra. Kitabun Uhkimat Ayatuhu Thumma Fussilat Min Ladun Hakimin Khabir. See, this is Saba, and it's a very sorrowful maqam. It could be used anywhere in the Quran, not necessarily for verses of punishment or verses of hell and things which, you know, require such a melody, but you could use it anywhere in the Quran.
It really is full of sorrow.
Yeah, it's full of sorrow. And about the tajweed, as you know, at the beginning of this surah, we have حروف المقطعة. حروف المقطعة means that we have certain letters that are written, and you have to say the name of that letter. Alif, we have an alif, we say alif. Lam, ra. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes we have matul lazim in the حروف المقطعة. As a matter of fact, the only kind of mad we can have in حروف المغطاء is madul lazim.
Yes.
Because, and when does that happen? It happens whenever the name of the letter consists of
three letters.
The second letter has to be a long vowel.
Mm-hmm.
And the third letter should be a saken letter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for example, lam. La, lam. We have a meme sakin at the end. So sukun, as we said before, is one of the causes or one of the means of
madulazim.
What about alif? Does it have mad?
No.
It doesn't.
Because actually the letter in the middle is lam. That is not a vowel.
Yes, exactly. It's a consonant. And also ra. How come ra doesn't have long a mad?
Ra consists of two letters, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Ra and alif.
In pronunciation, letters such as ra, ba, ya, they're considered as two-letter words, even though sometimes in writing they put a hamza at the end. But the hamza is not pronounced. Mm-hmm. Kitabun.
So, sorry, it should be lengthened to thick.
Two vowel count, like a normal long vowel.
No. I'm talking about madul lazim.
Six vowel counts. Yeah, only six vowel counts. Lam ra. Kitabun uhkimat. We have tanween al dam or tanween al raf.
Un.
Okay. So, what is a tanween? Tanween means a short vowel plus a nun sakina. So, un. We have three types of tanween. Tanween al-fath, tanween al-kasr,
in,
and tanween al-dham, which is un. And in writing, they write two of the same vowel twice. Of course, the way it's written on top of each other could be different, especially in the Uthman Taha Codex. For example, right now, you could see kitabun. There is a dhamma with a upside down dhamma written on top of the first dhamma. This indicates that you have to actually apply idhar.
Pronounce the noon completely.
Yes. Whenever there is idgham, the tanween al-dham is written two dhammas looking exactly like each other and right next to each other rather than on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They are somehow on top of each other, but they're, you know, they're right next to each other as well. Like, look at the word nadhirun. Nadhirun wa bashirun. See, we have idgham, so the tanween al-dham is written differently. The same is true with respect to tanween al-fath and tanween al-kasr. If there is idhar, the tanween al-fath or the tanween al-kasr, they're written right above each other. If there's idgham, they're written a little next to each other.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Imam Baqir alayhi salam told a person who was called Sa'd, فَإِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي أَحْسَنِ سُورَةٍ نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا الْخَالِقِ. Imam said, on the day of judgment, the Quran will come in the most beautiful condition that people have seen. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كَيْفَ رَأَيْتَ عِبَادِي. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the Quran, how did you find my people, my servants? Which means, how did they treat you? How was their approach to you? The Quran says, Ya Rabbi, minhum man sanani wa hafaza alayya wa lam yudayya shay'a. Some of your servants, the Quran is, you know, bearing witness, that some of your servants protected me. They were very careful about me. They didn't let anything about me being wasted or disregarded. So they were 100% careful about me. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ ضَيَّعَنِي. But some of your servants, they, like, you know, wasted me. ضيعن. وَاسْتَخَفَّ بِحَقِّي. They underestimated my right or my position. وَكَذَّبَ بِي. They told lie about me or they denied me. وَأَنَا حُجَّتُكَ عَلَى جَمِيعِ خَلْقِكَ. While I was hujja for all the people, all your creation, but this was the response. This was the way people treated me. Some people respected me, some people disrespected me. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي وَارْتِفَاعِ مَكَانِ. By my dignity and glory and high position. لَأُثِيبَنَّ عَلَيْكَ الْيَوْمَ أَحْسَنَ الثَّوَابِ وَلَأُعَاقِبَنَّ عَلَيْكَ الْيَوْمَ أَلِيمَ الْعِقَابِ. Today, I am going to reward according to the way they have treated you, the best reward, and I am going to punish those who have not been respectful to you, the most painful punishment. So, this hadith shows how much respect the Quran has.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Color of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء.
Regarding the beginning phrase of this beautiful dua, اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء. O Allah, I ask you by your mercy that envelops everything. We have now discussed many different aspects of material and spiritual blessings of the Almighty Allah. We have discussed the story of creation of human beings, their system of the bodies, like respiratory system, their skins, their defensive internal system, and also the world, the plants, animals, and all, they are all created for the sake of human beings, and they are all the manifestations of the Almighty Allah's mercy. In the previous program, we also talked about the Almighty Allah's guidance as a valuable blessing. Now, if man commits a sin due to ignorance or negligence during his lifetime, but regrets and returns to Allah by beseeching him for repentance and compensation, Allah will forgive him. It is recommended that repentance should be accompanied by Dua Kumail on Thursday night, the night of mercy and the descent of Allah's blessings to the servants. And the acceptance of this repentance is yet another manifestation of His mercy. So we also thank Him for allowing us to come back to Him. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. The Holy Quran says, O my people, who have been prodigal against yourselves, do not despair of God's mercy. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Surely God forgives sins altogether, and surely He is the all-forgiving, the all-compassionate. And there are so many verses in the Holy Quran that end with the phrases such as إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. He is gentle with His servants. Allah is all-forgiving, all-compassionate. and Allah singles out for His mercy whom He will. وَاللَّهُ يَخْتَصُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Allah is relenting, merciful. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًّا غَفُورًا. Allah is all-pardoning and all-forgiving. And all these verses of the Holy Quran, they are here to tell us that one of the best manifestations of His mercy is that He accepts the sinful's repentance.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and his progeny Oh Allah, I beseech you by your mercy which encompasses everything and by your power by which you overcome everything and which submits to it everything and humble before it is everything and by your might by which you conquer everything and by your majesty against which nothing can stand And by your greatness which prevails over everything And by your authority which is exercised over everything And by your own self that shall endure forever after everything has vanished And by your names which manifest your power over everything And by your knowledge which pervades everything And by the light of your face which illuminates everything Oh, He who is light, oh, He most holy, oh, He who is light, oh, He most holy.
Also, throughout the traditions, we have many instances of the Almighty Allah's mercy. Abu Sa'id Khadri has narrated from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the sinful believers are sent to hell, the fire becomes cold for them until they are brought out. Then Allah calls on the angels, bring them to paradise, because they are subjected to my infinite mercy and compassion. It is also narrated from the Prophet's household. When the day of resurrection is established, the Almighty gathers the believers together and tells them, I forgive your sins as they make you indebted to me. Now you pardon each other's sin so that you can enter my paradise. It is also narrated that on the day of resurrection, Allah calls on each of His servants, O my servant, I granted you blessings, but you committed sins. As I increased my blessings for you, you added your transgression. The servant bends his head from shyness. Allah calls, O my servant, raise your head. Since I forgave you at the same moment that you committed the sin. When a servant is brought before Allah on the hereafter, he bends his head and bursts into tears due to shame. The Almighty calls, When you committed sin cheerfully, I did not make you ashamed. Now that you are not sinning and you are bitterly ashamed, how can I punish you? I forgive your wrongdoing and allow you to enter my paradise. So, The Almighty Allah, based on our traditions, has 100 kinds of mercy, one of which He grants in this world, covering His servants with it and he reserves the other 99 for the day of resurrection. Of course, we do not need to mention that all these traditions regarding different kinds of mercies of the Almighty Allah, specifically on the day of resurrection, have different conditions on their sides. And the mercy of Allah in the next world depends on many things in this world. We are not about to talk about them all, so we will, inshallah, talk about some of the stories of the Almighty Allah's mercy, and afterwards we will, inshallah, end the discussion on this part of the Dua al-Kumayl. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering the doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
الله هو ذا الرحمن
الله
هو ذا المنان
لا إله إلا.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your host, Haider al-Bahadli, from Q&A on Islamic Beliefs, broadcasting from IRIB English Radio. Today we have our guest, Sheikh Murtada Karimi. Sheikh al-Aziz, salamun alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Sheikh, it's a pleasure to have you here. We were talking about a very interesting subject last time about the hijab of men and women, and we got caught up by the time of the program, and we really wish to hear the rest of your arguments and points. So please continue where we were last.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So a